You're listening to the latest preaching from Brixham Community Church.
Well, I'm a complicated kind of guy, and the first thing Paul said when he preached last week was, when we've got a theme like Keep It Simple, and he's got the title last week of Keeping It Simple with God, you realise how difficult it is to keep things simple. And I realise actually that that's the reason we need sermon series like this, just to remind us that we need to keep certain things simple. So in our first week, I just gave an overview of what we're going to talk about, and I came across this simple rhyme that in the Bible, when we're thinking about the Bible and what the Bible says, the plain things are the main things, and the main things are the plain things. So there's lots of stuff in the Bible and lots of stuff. It's all important. It's all God's word. But there are some things that we just sometimes need to home in on. And so I picked two things out of the Bible on our first week. And that was number one, love God. And number two, love people. They were two very main things. We see them throughout the Bible and they're dead important. And so in the second week, Paul talked about keeping it simple with God, thinking about love God, love people. So this week, we're going to talk about keeping it simple with one another, with people. And there's a lot of one another's in the Bible. In fact, there's in the New International Version, there's 190 instances where it says one another. Some of them aren't that relevant to people, but I just thought I'd tell you that. And 90 of them are in the Old Testament and 100 of them are in the New Testament. So there's lots of one another's in the Bible, because we need to know how to relate to one another. And it's because we are complicated as individuals. When I left sixth form, I started work. I didn't go straight to further or higher education. I went to work for a couple of years in an accounts department. I became an assistant accountant for a year, and then I transferred to a sister company and became a trainee accountant, doing exactly the same work but with a different title. And in my first couple of weeks there, aged 18, I had a manager who was really good, and a really good employer, actually. They were fantastic. And the manager was sleeping with another member of staff in the same office, and they broke up in my first month there. And the tension in the office was just absolutely horrendous. And sometimes when he'd go out to go and talk to another department, she just burst into tears. And I'm sitting shoulder to shoulder to this lady who's just burst into tears. And it's just evidence right from the start of my working life that life is complicated, people are complicated. And even moving on into, I did my degree eventually and became a teacher, and I was teaching for 19 years in the same school. But in that time, there was an extended period where I had the same office. When I wasn't in class, I'd be in this office. And sometimes there was one or two other people in the office, sometimes there were six of us. And even in that environment, you just realize that it's so easy to feel like you can do all those fruits of the Spirit when you're on your own, because it's easy. And then someone else comes into the office, puts some music on that you don't want to listen to, and then walks out. I was like, what's that all? Just stop it. And you just start to realize how different we all are. So we need to learn to keep it simple with one another, because and even in our relationships, we need to think, actually, the things that are absolutely plain, they're the main things, the things that are important. We've got to love one another. So we're all like it. We find every generation has the same issues because we're all different. And even within every generation, even in one generation, you've got just different personality types, different expectations, different boundaries, different perceptions of things. So even within the same family, you've got different personality types. And if you ever manage as a family to sit around the table together, which is a rarity these days, sometimes all sorts of conversations can arise, can't they? And you start to realize how different you are. And then maybe one day you meet somebody and you think, wow, I want to marry this person. And you've got two separate families with two, what you think is normal and you've grown up with is normal, and you get married to this person and what they've grown up with they think is normal, and you realize how complicated we all are. So we need some kind of guidelines. and your parents, and then you have children, and maybe you differ over how you should cradle this child and how you should nurture this child, and then you get the wonderful grandparents to do the babysitting, and they've got different ideas. And even though they brought you up and you think you're okay, but you still disagree with the way they should look after your children. You know, this is what I did with you and you think you're okay. Well, you know, there's all sorts. And we read this book when we first had our first child, and even before he was born, we're reading this book on you know, what to do to have this. It wasn't called The Perfect Contented Baby. I know there is a book like that, but it was that sort of thing. It was a Christian version, and we thought we had it all mapped out, and we got Andrea's mum to read the same book because she was living nearby and she was the instant free babysitter and all that. When he's starting to get onto solid foods, she's just Andrea's mum just has this obsession that as long as he eats bread, he'll be fine. It's good if he'll eat bread. And we still laugh about it, you know. Is he eating bread? It's good if he eats bread. So that's just Elsie. She's a wonderful person and an amazing grandma. So we're just all different. We're just all so different. So we need some basic guidelines. And in our very first talk, we learned that the main things are the plain things. And one of the main things is to love one another. So let's start with Jesus. Always a good place to start. And then we'll look at a few of the writers in the New Testament and what they said about keeping it simple with one another, a few one another's in the Bible. So first of all, we'll start with Jesus. He said famously, love your neighbor as yourself. And lots of preachers, rightly so, say, well, you've got to love yourself first and all that. I'm not here to unpack that today. But then he went on later to say a new commandment I give you, love one another. Well, that's not new, is it? Because he's already said it. So what's the new thing? As I have loved you. So before he said, love your neighbor as yourself. Now he's saying, love your neighbor as I have loved you. That's different. Because I love myself this much, but Jesus loves me this much. And I've got to love you lot that much. I've not got to love you this little much that I love myself. I've now got to love you. This is the new commandment. I've got to love all of you this much. Wow, that is a new commandment. That's big. That's scary. That's a big, hairy, scary commandment to love of all of you lot as much as Jesus loved you. Wow. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples. If you love one another. See, we need sermon series like this because we need to uncomplicate things. We need to unravel our relationships and just think, what am I doing to love my neighbor? If we fall out with one another, as we will do, what is the way of love in all of this? What is the way of love in all this? So that's the overarching thing I want us to think about today is how are we loving one another? This isn't even about loving the lost, which we need to do. We need to love our neighbor as in our neighbor who's not a Christian. We need to love them. I'm just talking about in-house love, okay, which is a special kind of love in the church. So we move on to Peter, who also says, love one another deeply from the heart. You can't escape it. So Jesus said it. Peter was one of Jesus' closest disciples. He had 12 disciples, but there were three that seemed to be at all the key events where the others weren't. Certain healings and certain things that happened on mountains, which we won't go into. Peter, James, and John. So Peter was with Jesus virtually all the time. It's thought that Mark's gospel was written by using Peter's memoirs because Peter was around Jesus all the time. There's a lot of eyewitness accounts, and Mark knew Peter. So Peter knew a lot about Jesus, spent a lot of time with him, and still comes out with these conclusions. He writes to churches later on and says, love one another deeply from the heart. This is not just a surface love. This is deeply, madly, truly, deeply. And then he says a couple of chapters later, love one another, be compassionate and humble. A little bit of unpacking what love looks like for Peter there. Moving on, then there's this other guy called Paul, who was miraculously converted by Jesus after Jesus had ascended into heaven, Jesus met with Paul, and Paul became an amazing apostle. He started churches all around the known world, and he wrote probably roughly half the New Testament. Okay, so Paul, big writer in the New Testament, he also says, be devoted to one another, honor one another above yourselves. It's interesting that, isn't it? Honor one another. I wonder, you know, we don't always have this culture of honoring people in the world. And some of the stuff we plaster on Facebook doesn't always honor other people. And some of the stuff we like or retweet or repost doesn't always honor other people. Just be careful what you choose to repost. Let's honor one another above ourselves, above ourselves. Not, it doesn't actually tell us there to love people more than you love yourself. You've got to love people as you love yourself. But in, so you're not becoming a doormat to this person. You've still got self-respect and dignity here. You still love yourself, but you're honoring people, putting other people first. This is the way of love. It's challenging, isn't it? I mean, it's all very nice to see as a concept. It's nice to teach it as a concept. But when it comes down to nitty-gritty, when someone's screwed you over or messed you about or said something about you behind your back or just assumed something about you when they've been told something about you that isn't true and they just believed it without coming to check you, you've got to keep honoring that person above yourself. It gets difficult, doesn't it? See, it sounded nice till I started talking about what it feels like in the real world. That's what we've got to do. We've got to honor one another. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. Jesus said the same. The entire law and prophets hang on these two ideas of loving God and loving people. So we've seen it. Jesus said it. We've seen it because Peter said it. We've also seen that Paul said it, but I've saved the most common usage of this idea of loving one another to last because John's all over it. In fact, legend has it that when John was dying, he just kept repeatedly saying, little children, love one another. That was all he would say. They were his dying words, and he just repeatedly just kept saying it like a madman. Little children, you must love one another. That's not documented. It's not in the Bible, but it's certainly what legend has it that's how John was dying because he was just so passionate about love. He is the disciple that Jesus loved. In his gospel, love is a theme there because he's the disciple Jesus loved. So there you've got it. I've got 2, 4, 5 times where John says it in his epistles, his letters at the end of the Bible. This is the message you've heard from the beginning. We should love one another. I like the word should because it's real. We should love one another. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. Later on, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Are we getting the message this morning? The message is about loving each other. Keeping it simple with one another is simple. You just got to love one another. But it's not simple, isn't it? Is it? Because we're complicated. So it's kind of a simple, complicated message. I am not writing you a new command, love one another. It's not new now, is it? Because Jesus said it back before, and now he's, you know, John 13 is a new command, love one another as Jesus loved you. And now John's saying later on, this is not a new idea. We've got to love one another. Okay, so that's Peter. We looked at Peter. We looked at Paul. We looked at John. So we get the idea. We've got to love one another. But I think if we look at some more of the one another's in the New Testament, and as I said, there are 100 of them in the New Testament. We won't look at them all today. I know some of you are disappointed. And I did think, well, if we spent 1 second on each, it still would be quite a short talk. Just flick through all the one another's. But we might get a bit overwhelmed. So I've selected a few and categorized them. I've spent some time this week looking at the one another's in the New Testament. And I've found that there are some categories that I've invented. You can make your own up if you like. Go home, do the same. Nice bit of homework for you. But these are my 4 categories of some one another's that I've noticed crop up quite a lot. Number 1, the holy kiss. I think you'll like that. Greet one another with a holy kiss. I didn't realize that appears more than once in the New Testament. And I've a few people I've met this morning, I came over to the gentleman who put the chairs out and said, I've come to greet you with a holy kiss. And he said, you're all right, John. Keep your smackers to yourself. The second one is humility. And the third one is acceptance and forgiveness. I kind of felt like they could have been two, but I didn't want to overwhelm us this morning with material. And there's a lot I could say about each of acceptance and forgiveness, but they hang together a little bit. And then the fourth one, my favourite one, encouragement. So encourage one another. To me, these are how we can love one another. We want to keep things simple with one another. We want to love one another. And these are how we're going to do it. And for each of the four, I've got a decision that you can make, a sentence that we can say out loud and we can decide to do. And the first one about the holy kiss. See, the holy kiss, it says several times, greet one another with a holy kiss. In fact, there they are, Romans 16, Corinthians twice, Thessalonians and 1 Peter. So a couple of writers using it each time. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Greet all God's people with a holy kiss. If a big church would take a while to get round, wouldn't it? If everyone in a big church had to greet everyone with a holy kiss, it would be a busy Sunday. Greet all God's people with a holy kiss. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Okay. So the decision I think we need to make is we are a family because in the culture we're reading, a kiss was an ordinary greeting, right? And they do it more in France than we do in Britain. Some people in Britain do greet one another with a kiss, don't they? And sometimes are we going for two cheeks or one? You know, and then in some places abroad, they go back to the first cheek again, so you get three. So it's just culture, it's normal, it's ordinary. It's the way you might greet your family. So for me, the holy kiss, well, actually, for them, the kiss was just an ordinary greeting. But the writer is saying, let's have a holy kiss. Let's make it something special. Let's make it spiritual. Let's make sure that the unity, the bond of peace between brothers and sisters in Christ is holy. When you greet one another, do it in the name of Jesus. And I just feel like for us guys, we're very good at that already. You know, you see a lot of hugging, a lot of handshaking, and that's all good. So we are a family, and I will show affection from the get-go. I used to work with a Christian who sometimes I would walk into the office and all I would get is a grunt, you know. So I'm just saying, let's just do better than that. You know, and you try and walk in all breezy or whatever. And I know sometimes we, you know, we go through dark times and sometimes people suffer from depression and it's hard to put on a plastic smile. I'm not talking about that. I'm just showing love as we walk in, as we greet one another. I'm going to show affection from the get-go. Some of us aren't very touchy-feely. We don't want to do the holy hug. You know, that some people just, you know, they greet with a fist bump, don't they, you know. We're more of an aging population here, I would say, in Brixham, and the fist bump isn't quite as relevant. But to some youth groups, you might say, yeah, greet one another with a holy fist bump, you know. And I talked about chest bumps in a previous talk. I'd love to see, you know, maybe Dick and my dad just do a chest bump at the end. Dick's up for it. Yeah, come on. Greet one another. But we're just going to show affection to one another. It's we're family. However you would greet your family, or if your family was like you wish it was, however you would greet your family, that's how we should be greeting one another. We're going to show affection. It's a good place to start. First impressions count. You walk into a room, you see someone you notice someone on 4th Street from the church, and you look for the nearest side steps to just get away, and you hope they don't see you. Or you just go up and say, hi, and how are you doing? And just, you know, chat a bit, you know. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Just a simple greeting makes all the difference. So that's the first one. Nice, easy one, bit of a fun one, holy kiss. The second one is humility. This is the decision, I will show love through humble service and submission. Now it gets harder. We've greeted people, but now what we're actually thinking in our minds is, how can I serve this person? Not what can I get out of this relationship? They've got more money than me and I'm struggling financially. I'll just drop a hint. It's how can I serve this person? How can I serve this person. That's what's on our minds when we meet and greet our Christian brothers and sisters. A few verses. Clothe yourselves with humility towards one another. See, I'm just going through this one another thing, okay? So we've got humility towards one another because God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. Paul used that verse last week when he talked about keeping it simple with God. We're going to be humble before God. Serve one another humbly in love. I'm just so grateful for our worship team and the culture amongst our worship team. There is just no ego or self-serving in them at all. You know, they just want to serve you lot and help you get closer to God through worship. And I just thank God for that. They're serving you every week. I'm thankful for the people who serve at the back and put chairs out and all that, because I know in this church there is just a wonderful culture of just doing it for Jesus and doing it for one another. And don't take that for granted, because, you know, I've been in church all my life and I have seen people take a lot of self-worth out of what they do. I've seen people talk about what they don't like to talk about it, but I do put all the chairs out every week, you know. But where's the service in that? Let's do things in humility. Let's encourage that. Let's thank people. Let's honour one another for what they do when they do things serving humbly. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Submit to one another. That's talking about listening, finding out their point of view, and perhaps even taking it on board, but listening respectfully out of reverence for Christ. Christ died for this person who's annoying the heck out of me. I'm going to submit to them. I'm going to listen to them. My relationship with this person is more important than winning the argument. That's what we've got to be thinking. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, ... I didn't fill it out because it carries on talking about how Jesus, the Son of God, from his throne in heaven, didn't think of equality with God as something to be grasped or held on to, but in humility took the form of a servant, became like us, and surrendered to death, even the most humiliating, painful death that the Romans could concoct, death on a cross. And therefore God exalted him to the highest place. And his name is the name that every knee will bow to one day. And just like it says on the first scripture at the top of that slide, God does show favor to the humble. And Jesus allowed himself to become humble. And that's the attitude that we're told to have. So just like when Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you, we're still being told here, have the same mindset as Christ. It's challenging. You know, I'm saying it all cheerfully and everything, but I struggle to do that with some people, to have the same mindset, to humble myself, to put the other person's needs ahead of my own in the simple nitty-gritty of life when I've got a task that I'm trying to complete and another person comes in with a need that's more important to them than my task is to me. But there's a tension, isn't there, because I've got to put their needs ahead of my own sometimes, and it's not always easy. You know, I've got to get this shopping done. That's not the task I was really thinking of, but, you know, just trying to relate to the common people who do shopping. I've got to get this shopping done. I've got to sort this out. I've got to do this. I'm trying to watch this very important TV show, you know. And then this person comes in, a child, a sibling, a whatever else, the phone rings. And I'm going to humble myself. I'm going to put their needs first. So the decision we will make this morning is I will show love through humble service and submission. The third decision of four is acceptance and forgiveness. The decision is I will not judge others. Now, we do that in our hearts. You don't, just because you don't say stuff doesn't mean you don't think stuff. And sometimes you've got to just check your own heart. You've got to check what you're feeling about another person. It might even be a person you haven't met. It's very easy to judge, especially if you watch the news. It's very easy to judge politicians and other people. It's very easy to judge situations without knowing the full story. Without knowing what you'd have done in that position, what it would have been like if you were in their shoes. It's very easy to judge. There's only one judge, ultimately. I will always choose forgiveness. I've tied them together. They don't always happen to be together. Forgiving someone isn't always about judging someone. But just to keep the sermon short, I'm tying these two together. I will always choose forgiveness. Quite a decision, that, isn't it? Quite a decision when someone's really messed you around and they deserve judgment. Especially if you've got within your power the ability to bring some sort of judgment down on that person. When you've got the ability to do certain things that would cause them pain or hardship, to choose forgiveness is a God decision. It's actually a decision that we can't always do without God's help. But that's what the Bible teaches us to do. James tells his readers, brothers and sisters, see, he's not talking to non-Christians, he's talking to brothers and sisters. Do not slander one another. The fact that he had to write that suggests to me that it was happening. He also says in the same book, don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door! Exclamation mark. Wow, see, there is only one judge. The judge is standing at the door. Don't grumble against one another. Easy to do. The more time you spend with another person, the easier it becomes to grumble against one another. There's a sense in that passage of you're becoming a judge and you're separating good from bad, and you're deciding someone's actions, whether they were good or bad, and a sense of just, you know what, I'm just going to leave that with God. My job is to love that person. That's what I've got to do. And when someone years ago came and spoke to me about something that they'd done and were actually doing, and they knew that I would consider it to be a sin, and they said, well, I don't know what you're going to think about me now. I've told you all that. And they were Christian, and I just said, well, you know what I've got to do. Yes, I might not agree with what you're doing, but I've just got to love you. That's my job. I've got to love God and I've got to love people, so I still love you and we're still friends. But yeah, there is a clear boundary here. I don't agree with this thing you're doing, but I love you. I love you. And that's so important, that we don't judge one another. The judge is standing at the door. So in a way, that's a double-edged thing, isn't it? Because in a way, it's like, judge not lest ye be judged. So the judge is standing at the door. He's going to watch you and he's going to say, you judge that person. Keep pointing at Dave here. Sorry, Dave. Don't take it personally. You judge that person and now I'm standing at the door. I'm going to judge you. Actually, I like the other prong, which says you don't need to judge anyone because the judge is standing at the door. He's not far away. He'll sort it out. Accept one another as Christ accepted you. Romans 15:7. Accept one another. So that means you've got to accept me. Thanks, guys. Thanks for the acceptance. Because even if in the flesh you'd have hated my guts because I'm just annoying, because of Jesus, you can accept me. And I love that. I love that about this family. I love that about this church. There is a whole lot of acceptance. And I owe a lot of that culture to the leadership before me that said, we will be high on acceptance, low on judgment. And that's been our culture since way before my time. And I love that about this church. There is a real culture of acceptance. You know, we might not agree with everything you do. We might not accept your behavior, but we accept you as a human being who is of ultimate value and infinite worth, and we love you. And that's really important. Accept one another. Be kind and compassionate to one another. In Ephesians 4:32, forgiving each other just as Christ God forgave you. And finally, bear with each other and forgive one another. Okay? So we're going to do it? Hope so. It's not easy. It is difficult, especially when you really know that person's wrong. And it's hard to forgive people when they haven't really said sorry. Or they've said sorry, but. I hate the sorry, but. Okay. Finally, encouragement, my favourite. The decision is, I will speak into other people's lives to build them up. And I hope and pray that's what I do as I interact with you. I just always want to be bringing positive into your lives. And if I'm not, then I'd I'll hear about it. But that's what we should all be like with one another, just building one another up, accepting one another, speaking positive. So here are some one another's to do with encouragement, just three this time. Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. Hebrews 10, spurring one another on to do good things and continuing to meet with one another. That can just be in the coffee shop, and it can also be on a Sunday morning, and hopefully for some of us it's on Wednesday night this week as well. It's good to be together. Sometimes I'm just encouraged by being amongst you guys without anything else happening, just being together. And I just think when you do get together with other Christians, don't be afraid to talk about God and just what he's doing. And one thing I find really encouraging is just hearing what God's doing in your life. Testimony is so important. And just giving testimony to what God is doing right now, even if it's a difficult season you're going through, but you know God's in it, that's great. I just find that really encouraging. Second reading, encourage one another, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. The God of love and peace will be with you. Be of one mind. That's a joke, isn't it? Sorry, it's not a joke. It's in the Bible. This is where I like to apply the rule of the main things are the plain things. It's plain to me in the Bible. These are the things we can be of one mind about, I hope. Jesus is Lord. Jesus died for me. He loves me. He's coming back. We've got some work to do for him. We need to spread the news. We can't do it without the Holy Spirit. They're all plain things. And I think we can all be of one mind on the important things. We might not all be of one mind as to whether we prefer hymns or Hillsong, or whether we think Jesus is coming back on a certain date and certain things will happen. We might not be able to be of one mind of all those things, but the main things we can be. And I think that's what's important. Let's get on to the important stuff. Be of one mind and work together, living in peace. Therefore, last verse, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. So it's good to encourage you to do what you're already doing. Don't stop. Don't stop encouraging one another. So my four decisions on the screen now. Number one, we are a family and I will show affection from the get-go. Number two, I will show love through humble service and submission. Number three, I will not judge others. I will always choose forgiveness. And number four, I will speak into other people's lives to build them up.
Thanks for listening. For more information, visit brixham.church.